KI9NG on the KC9YNM repeater in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Yeah, copy that. Go ahead, AM operator. Oh, WNJWM.
Did you ever watch King of the Hill when Bobby was driving the truck? And he says, I'm driving the hell out of this truck. Well, I'm operating the hell out of this radio.
No, I didn't watch those. I'd rather not watch those. King of the Hill and Bert Simpson. I didn't get into those. My father was against them because it made people look stupid. He says it insults my intelligence to have something like that on TV, so I followed my dad. But let's see here. I'm watching a show or a YouTube video where they use brake fluid as motor oil in a Honda Odyssey van. It had a four-cylinder in it. And it was the old Camry motor. And it ran. And it cleaned all the variable valve timing because the VVTI wasn't working. And it cleaned all the oil ports out. But the engine started smoking real bad because the brake fluid couldn't handle the heat. But it cleaned the engine out real good. And it ran he drove it for 10 to 15 miles. And that's garage 54 in Russia that I was watching. I'm like, wow, Honda engines are very durable engines, indestructible. Well, I worked for Honda for 7 years, so I should know. But yeah, that was interesting. Brake fluid, DOT-4 is motor oil.
Well, I wonder how that would compare to DOT-3. But yeah, the temperature handling, yeah, that makes sense. I figured there had to be some detriment to using brake fluid. Yeah, the temperature handling, that, yep.
Yeah, DOT-5 synthetic probably would have been better, for temperature handling. But yeah, and there's even a bigger one they use on cars. It's like I don't know if they call it DOT-6 or whatever, but it has a high boiling point. But it's not, you don't use that in street cars. It'll mess up the seals. But, yeah. They tried all kinds of stuff. They're dumping engine treatment instead of oil, and they drove the car around. It's the stuff that you never thought would happen. It's pretty funny. I'm sure you watched that garage shoot before. They try to do everything they can in cars. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I've seen one or two. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, the one where they used what is that thing? A torque converter instead of a clutch on a manual. Yeah, I saw that one. You told me about it too. And yeah, I think that might be the only one I've seen, but it feels like I've seen one more. I can't remember what. But the neat thing about this All-Star, right, is if you were to key up now, I could still hear you. It's full duplex on my end. So if somebody does key up on me or comes in on another repeater, I know right away. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah. That's almost like you're monitoring your repeater. I'm trying to think how that, and RF it would be, you'd be de-sensing your receive. You're trying to monitor the input, but just like Lansing Police de-senses all my stuff over here with their new 700 megahertz encrypted digital. this close to going to the police station to tell them turn their power down or stop transmitting because like, you're messing up my ham radios and my scanners. They'll look at me like, yeah, okay, sure. But yeah, that's interesting that you can do that with that. Trying to think how that would work on there. Explain.
Okay, well, I think I spoke a little too hastily. After I said it, I thought about it a little harder, okay? So for sure, if somebody keys up on one of the other repeaters, I don't know about what would happen if RF comes through. Okay, so here's a hunt. If somebody keys up on All-Star while I'm transmitting on All-Star, while I'm sending to the All-Star system, I'm always listening to the All-Star room, whether I'm transmitting or not. My seeker is always listening to that room. It doesn't play my audio, but it would play anybody else's audio that's in the All-Star node. Since the repeater is transmitting, and it's got cans. So it can transmit and receive at the same time. And it's not receiving anything right now. It's getting my audio is coming in, you know, through a data port on the back of the machine. So the receiver is not receiving any radio signals right now. So if you keyed up, it would receive that, and it would start putting it out, and it would put it into the All-Star room. So, yeah, I definitely would hear it if you keyed up because your audio is connected to the All-Star room. And I hear everything that's in the All-Star room all the time, whether I'm transmitting or not.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep, that explains it. I'm trying to think of... you did mention about the encryption. I was wondering what encryption are you talking about, or is it Modal Turbo? Because I have encryption on my Modal Turbo, so it's got two different encryption keys that you can use. I think you said when you're in Hamfest, we used them for the encryption.
Yeah, copy. So what I said was that we can legally use it, which... I'm surprised I didn't get a response from you on that. As long as the encryption key is publicly available, it's legal. We're not using encryption because the key is publicly available. It's just a different publicly available encoding mechanism. And then what kind of encryption? Al, KD2GSW, he got his compatible with mine. Either way, my BTEX and my NHL, they specifically comply with Motorola's encryption protocols, the AES-256 encryption protocols. Everything has to match, of course, but they interoperate on encryption there. Over.
Okay, yeah. The different modes. Yep. I would be able to do that on my if I brought my 6550 or 7550. I'd have to pre-program it, though. Oh, no, wait, I'd go on the menu and turn the encryption on and off. So, yeah, that's good. Okay, I got it now. Yeah, when we used to go to Hamvention years ago, I have to get one of Dan's, my buddy Dan, who was a genius. He did all my radio work. He passed away a few years ago, but he would give me an APX, because he had three APXs. He bought three of them, the UHF, VHF, and an extra UHF. and we do encryption. I think it was either Motorola or, no, actually encryption with P25, that's what we were doing. I don't know how he did it, but he would come up with some weird stuff and it would work. I don't know how he did it, but, and nobody could, you know, well, if they didn't have the Motorola radio, they couldn't really listen to it. But, yeah, that's the thing. I was trying to find the price of tickets. I think you're right, about $35. That one thing I sent you, that was just the discount prices, I guess. But we're already past that. And the that repeater you told me about, I put it in the radio and I got into it. But I have to put my preamp on to hear it sometimes. It matters how conditions are. But I got into it. We should probably try that one day and see how my bass is getting into it. I do have it in my mobile, too. I flash the radio in my mobile. So I have both radios set up for that. The Ogden Dunes one. Go ahead.
Oh, copy. Yeah, sorry to text. I haven't taken the time to respond or anything. So I generally see your texts right away, and then I'm busy. You know what I mean? I'm not too busy to talk on the radio, but when it comes to typing out a text, that's too much to ask from me. But can you monitor 220 and 440 at the same time there, Joe? I think you can. I'll connect this repeater to the Ogden Dunes repeater, and you could hear yourself if you wanted.
Yeah, I can monitor both of them. I'm just worried the mic might, well, I don't know how sensitive this Elinco desk mic is, but it might be some squealing involved. But, yeah, you can try that.
Okay. I'll pull over here in about 25 seconds. I'm going to make this this clover leaf, and there's a good spot to pull over right there. And then I'll link these two together. I'll be able to unlink them while I'm driving. That won't be a problem. As far as squealing, yeah. I was hoping maybe you'd put some headphones on or something. But at least you'd be able to hear me coming out of both machines. Just a moment. Back to you, KI9NG.
WE9JWM. Yeah, I have the jack to plug earphones into my Motorola. It goes on the back of the 21-pin connector in the back, but I don't have it in front of me right now. I'd have to go in the drawer and look for it. But it's mainly for plugging in, external speakers or headphones. But since I'm here alone, I don't bother anybody except the next door neighbor if I turn it up real loud. But yeah, the idea, we can try that. No rust, Bill. You don't have to pull over. Just we'll do it sometime. And I just wanted to see, because when I go into it, I'm using, I think, 30 watts. I know that I get one bar on it, and then I kick the preamp on, and I get almost full scale, so the preamp's working good. And I haven't heard much traction there, but I'm glad I was told about that. I probably looked at it in the repeater book on my phone, but I just passed over it. But I think it should be okay.
Okay, we should be connected to the KD9NSD repeater now, and I can disconnect very quickly, so no big deal on squealing. If it sounds terrible, I'll disconnect right away. But so now the KC9YNM is connected to the KD9NSD repeater.
I don't think I'm getting into it.
Okay, I copied that you don't think you're getting into it. Everything after, you don't think you're getting into it. Over.
Yeah, I'm back on 220. I don't think that conditions are good. High power with the UHF radio, and I didn't hear the repeater come back. It did come back once I ID'd again, but I don't think I'm getting into it very strong.
T-O-T-B.
I've got the, I think that's too hot. I've got the audio set as high as it'll go in the All-Star one. So I don't know how to boost it up any more than that, but on RC4, you know, the remote radio operator, that seems to be really hot. When I get really in there, yeah, it's definitely clipping. Yeah, 92.
Node 5 3 1.
Node 5 disconnected.
3 1 8
connected.
Node 6 0 4 0 1 0.
Yeah, that's weird. Oh, I'm still on. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of weird that I don't get into it with even 70 watts. That's weird.
Node 5 2 3 1 8
disconnected.
Yeah, roger that. I disconnected them. I was in the process of disconnecting them, and I heard you testing again, so I reconnected them, and then now that, yeah, I figured that was probably close to enough screwing around there. There's enough experiment. Not that we're probably bothering anybody at 7:45 in the morning. I've heard very little traffic over here. I'd love to hear some more. This seems like a pretty good little repeater, but I guess if it's not, if you can't get in there from Lansing with the high power, it sounds good on your side. You're hearing it well on your side, aren't you?
Yeah, but I have to turn the 20 dB preamp on to hear it. It just barely breaks my squelch. But yesterday I was getting 3 bars on it, and I didn't need the preamp. But I turned it on to see how much it would come up, and it came up full scale. So it's just the time of day. The conditions are giving me a little trouble, but I'm sure, you know, if I put it on 100 watts, it'd probably get in there. I believe I keyed up yesterday or the day before with just 30 watts, just radio power, so it's just the conditions.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, yeah. 70 centimeters seems to be a fickle beast. She it works sometimes and not others. Yeah. I was making a joke just yesterday, in fact, about 1.2 gigs. You might as well use the light bulb at that point, right? Like, that's got to be like 100% line of sight. Only if you can see it. If you, and I've actually considered that. For the VHF contest, I could make a contact on the, the 6 terahertz band. And I think that's legal. I'm not sure. But you could modulate a laser beam easily with AM and make an audio transmission that way.
Yeah, this repeater usually gives me one shy of full scale. Now it's only barely giving me 1 bar on my Elenco. So I imagine later on in the day it'll come up, you know, almost full scale like it usually does. So it's just the condition atmosphere. I'm sure I can get in the, I can do it no problem, during the day. But, I only wish I had a new antenna and coax up in the air. That would be a much improvement, but I can't get up there and do it right now with the new landlord. He's not going to let me do it. I know he isn't. He would let me do it if I asked him, if I told him I got to take my antenna down and not put it back up again. He'd go, oh, yeah, go ahead and do that.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Maybe you'll have to sneak up there when they're doing the roofing, huh? They got the door propped open right at the end. Right when they're almost done roofing, you sneak up there and do some stuff.
That, you know what? He wouldn't know the difference because the Comet tri-band antenna is a white two-piece pole. The only difference is the ground planes are straight out instead of leaning down a little bit, I think 35 degrees on the diamond that I have up there now. So he wouldn't even know the difference. Even if I put it up 10 feet higher, I don't think he would even notice. The only thing he would notice is if he came here and I was up on the roof, he'd probably have a heart attack because he's real paranoid about people getting hurt on his property. I don't know. Anyways, oh yeah, he just bought a new truck too. And I told him, yeah, is that from the all of our, raising our rent? Now you can go out and buy a new truck. He didn't say anything to me. He just gave me a dirty look. I'm like, yeah, it must be nice. But, oh well. I'm definitely getting out of here, so I'll be moving out of here pretty soon. I'm going to the land of free, Indiana.
Well, yeah. Freedom with their permission anyway. I mean, it's better. Don't get me wrong, but it's still not freedom. Still got to pay those taxes or they'll shoot you.
You know, and Bill, that's a great way of putting it. If you told that to a person that really isn't into politics as much as we are, they'd look and go, no, they don't do that. Like my father, he was really into politics. But if I was to tell them that, that's literally what they would do if you didn't pay the taxes. They'd come and arrest you by gunpoint. People like that would say, no, they would never do that. They just don't have understanding of the law as far as we all have to pay taxes. If you don't, we're going to come and take you away first, by gunpoint, and then hold you in prison for a while. Very, very weird, you know. People like that would go, no, they won't. They won't do that. They just don't understand. Yes, they would. They'd be here with handcuffs in hand and gun pointed at you.
Oh, boy. KI9NG. I had a discussion with the guy yesterday. He just couldn't get it. He just couldn't get it because that's the law. But the law is not a moral rule, and, the only time you have the right to defend yourself against somebody doing something wrong, quote, wrong, is when that wrong is, an initiation of violence. Rape, theft, assault, and murder. Those are the only four things for which you can defend yourself with violence, and you not paying your taxes is not any of those things. So the government has no right. Yeah, you get it. I wish we could find more people that don't believe it, so that I could continue to argue about it.
WNAWM. Yeah, it's almost where you. You explain it in layman's terms, and you're explaining it to a brick wall. It's just unbelievable. But at least Indiana, is a lot lenient than Illinois. Illinois is a joke. And if I define myself in Illinois when someone's trying to kill me, and I happen to shoot them in self-defense, life-threatening. Immediately the court's going to consider you guilty automatically. That's the way Illinois does it. They want to convict you right away. They don't care that you were almost, you know, murdered from somebody else, a criminal who's got a record a mile long, and you have never done nothing in your life. They want to just, Illinois hates, you know, people having guns, that's all. And that's why I'm so glad I've got one of the best, well, I guess it's called insurance or pecuniary protection. I bought up 5 years of it, so I'm good to go for at least 3 more years. So I have lawyers and money and everything through them that would get me out of jail, get my weapon back, and fight for me in court, and wouldn't cost me a dime. That's something you absolutely have to have if you're concealed carrying in any state. I made sure that. The USCCA is terrible. A horrible organization. What a waste of money. You'll go to jail because they're just terrible. They came to my concealed carry, and I argued with the guy. I said, first of all, I can see that the gun shop that's doing my concealed carry favors you, but you guys are being sued, and you're not covering people, and we were arguing back and forth. But he says, what do you use? And I said, the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. That's my insurance, I guess you want to call it. He's, oh, okay, well, that's a good one. Okay, I see what you're saying now. That's probably the best one out there. And he said, but next to ours. I said, no, it's better than yours, way better. But we were going back and forth after the class, and he didn't like that. He's a retired Chicago police officer, and he's real cocky, so I just laughed at him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've heard of, well, the USCCA is actually insurance, which that's not great. The one you've got is probably an attorney or a group of attorneys that you have on retainer. And that's the one that I've been hearing about. I hadn't heard about the one you're talking about. The one I've been hearing about is attorneys on retainer. And then, so with the USCCA, if you don't, any of these that are bad shoots, you know, like you need an attorney on a bad shoot. Whether it was a good shoot or a bad shoot, you need an attorney. And that USCCA, if they decide that it's a bad shoot, they don't cover you. An attorney will fight for you no matter what. Just like, you know, if you commit a crime, if it really is a crime, you're not getting attorneys on or USCCA to cover you in any way whatsoever. But if you, you know, pay an attorney, then he's going to represent you. And that's exactly what you need. Because some of the times it is a crime. And the other, and it shouldn't be. Or, you know, you need that representation. So, yeah, I'm glad. You started talking about it. I'm like, oh, I hope he doesn't have USCCA.
Yeah, and if... If they convict you of anything that's involved with that, they'll cancel your policy altogether, and then they'll go at USCCA will go after you for money that they had to put into it before they canceled you. Unbelievable! It just doesn't mix with me. And that, even years ago, I was thinking about getting it, but I did my homework, and now that the truth's coming out about them, and it's just a joke. They'll out of business pretty soon, and they're in the middle of multiple lawsuits now. And of course, the guy at my concealed carry class was denying everything about it. I said, "Dude, I've seen the court records. I've seen everything. Stop denying it. You're just trying to justify you guys' wrongdoing, and you're a bunch of liars, and that's it." So, but yeah, that's the one I have is a very, very, very top-notch group of attorneys, and you can choose your attorney as well, and their attorneys will work with your attorney, and it's a really good win-win situation. I'm glad I found out about them. I'll send you a picture of my ID card from them. And it'll show what I have on there. But yeah, it's almost, you better have that. That's all. It's just like, you know, when you say you have to use deadly force, okay, you saved your own life, but is going to jail for 20, 30 years, is that going to be worth it? Because you didn't have, coverage of some sort, help? Because it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to get through it. And my group has millions of dollars in reserve to back their members, and more members that keep adding on to that amount of money they have to use. So, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, and I don't know any of these good companies. The only one, like I said, the only one I've heard about was Attorneys on Retainer, and the only reason I know about that is because, I really like the Armed Scholar. I hate watching him. I hate listening to him. Oh, his mannerisms. Kind of like Donald Trump. I hate seeing Donald Trump on it. He annoys me so much with his mannerisms. I can almost understand Trump derangement syndrome watching Donald Trump, because he really annoys me. But, you know, his policies, that's what is important. And the same thing with the Armed Scholar, right? You probably watched the Scholar on YouTube. His mannerisms really annoy me. It's so effeminate and not cool. And he doesn't, I don't know, whatever, he's got a lot of really good information too. So, I believe he's in good faith done his homework on Attorneys on Retainer. So I would consider it. But, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that, man. You know, with none of that on my side, I certainly am not going to, I'm certainly going to give it a few extra thoughts before I do anything with a firearm in my own self-defense.
Yeah, I watch your Armed Scholar. I haven't watched him lately. Four Boxers Diner, he's pretty good. Guns and Gadgets is pretty good. But, There's all kinds of good ones on there. A lot of them were left YouTube because of their liberal thinking, kicking them off or showing them a part of a gun. Oh, you just took the gun apart, so they have to, ban you. Yeah, all that stuff is just ridiculous. But isn't that what YouTube's for? Yeah, not when you use firearms, because liberals hate firearms. They'd rather have you, murdered without no protection. Isn't that the same as communism? They don't want you to protect yourself. You have to rely on the government to protect you. But in reality, the government's against you. You know, you pay them probably, like, I think it's China, they make them pay like 49% tax or over that from their income. It's like an unbelievable amount of tax money. More than you make goes to them, to the government. And that's why they have all that money. They get billions of people or millions of people over there paying that large amount of taxes. And China is probably one of the richest countries, but it's our fault also for letting them manufacture everything over there. I hope a few more presidents get in there and get that out of it, get the manufacturing out of China. I can't stand that. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to have them manufacture stuff and not manufactured with any quality. So that's just my opinion. Keep it in America. WA9KWM.
Yeah. There is a place for that. But yeah, we need to incentivize it over here, that's for sure. And you're right, it's going to take several more presidencies before anything really good happens. Cause, well, I guess, you know, to manufacture silicon chips, we're probably 15-20 years away from having really good silicon manufacturing here in America, even if it starts at full speed right now. And who would ever do that? Because nobody can predict the future 15-20. That's why you know, there are people who are proponents of monarchs. If you got a good monarch, things are going to be stable for a very long time, you know? There's something to be said about that, too. I don't know how you solve that, because term limits seem to be a good thing, but, yeah. You said it. I was thinking it the whole time. Both times you said, you know, they don't want you to defend yourself. They'd rather you be dead. Well, yeah, it's about the control. It's all about your reliance on the government. And the more you rely on government, the more they can take power and the more that they can, you know, have money. So, yeah, I mean, if you rely on the government for everything, you might as well. Then they own all the factories. They own everything. And then, yeah, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do then, just like in China.
Yeah, and I don't know about the people over there if they're against us. Even the Russian people, I don't think the people themselves is against us. It's the government that's against us. Like Hong Kong, they don't like China at all. They were raising, when Trump got elected, they were raising Trump signs out there in the streets in Hong Kong. And Chinese police are trying to get in there and you know, take signs away from them. So I give Hong Kong credit. They like freedom rather than living according to the government's rules. But, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, all the European countries do not allow you to have a weapon, like Australia, Great Britain, England. Finland, you can. I think rifles only. But, I don't know. That's what the Japanese emperor said, or the general said, when they're in World War II. If we go over to break ground in America, there's going to be a man with a gun under every blade of grass in America. We better watch ourselves if we try to break ground over there. And they knew it. And they come over here. Not only is the army going to get you, but the citizens are well as well. But that was back in the days when we were more free. Now it probably isn't that way. But hopefully, like I said, maybe three or four presidents will maybe change something for the good. It's not going to be just one president. You know, we know that. They need a lot more time. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that we have to put up with this stuff, especially with the things like that don't make sense to me, like men dressing as women and going into women's like college sports and ruining it for girls that are trying to get their scholarships to go to college by training all their life, like the swimmer, that swimming girl. She was the best, you know, Olympic material, and this she was going to get a scholarship, but this man dressed up as a woman, you know, beat everybody's records, and it ruined a bunch of girls' scholarships, and I thought that was just terrible. Why are they doing that? But, you know, that's just something that really bothers me. It's not the fact that whatever they call them, females, I don't know, what do they call them, transdressers, they can do whatever they want in the privacy of their own home. But when you bring it out in the public and start ruining other girls', you know, scholarships, that's not good. Sorry about that, Bill. That was a little bit too long-winded. I think that was a three-minute key that I did. Huh.
Okay. I'm back. I think I probably didn't miss much. Yes, about the girl swimmer, I copied most of that, and I'm not sure where you went in the end with it, but am I back in there, WA9JM? This is KI9NG.
Yeah, when you log back in when you were talking, the audio was just flooding you out when it was saying, no, so-and-so is connected. That thing's way too loud. But, yeah, I was just saying when, you know, a guy dresses like a woman in the swimming, college swimming, and then starts beating other girls' records and ruining their scholarship chances, it just isn't right. Because he couldn't make it in the men's league, he had, you know, do that, you know, and ruin all these women to train their life to be fast swimmers, and then they get beat by a guy. That just isn't right, and they're, you know, pushing that really bad. But, I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't agree with it. But, yeah. I'm trying to think what, yeah, this radio is doing 25 watts. Getting real hot. I'm going to need a fan for this radio as well. We'll put the long keys on. Let me feel back here while I'm keyed up. Yeah, it's really hot. So I have to check the SWR on 220 on this antenna. I think this antenna is starting to go, and I hope it doesn't go anytime soon, but it might be, because it's not radio. This radio never ran so, you know, this hot, so it's probably an SWR problem. It's a tri-band antenna, so, you know, anything can happen. But as long as I'm getting into the repeater, I guess it's okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, yeah, well, it sounds really, really good. I hardly hear any white noise or anything, you know. I think you're doing really well. And so, yeah, maybe the SWR is a little high on it, I guess, huh? But yeah, I don't know how much rag chewing you've done on 1.25 meters, but maybe that's just how that radio runs. But about the male swimmer and the female swimming, that was pretty much the breaking point though too. So it was kind of a good thing. Like, she's winning all of her battles, especially in the court of public opinion. You know, she is absolutely winning. And, right, the guy broke, like, 3 women's world records in, like, you know, a couple of meets. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, swimming is so much upper body strength. He's a guy. He's a manly dude. I mean, relatively, anyway, at least in his upper body. Yeah, he had a swimmer's body. And there's no women around that can beat that. I mean, if they are, they're few and far between, and they don't want to put on a bathing suit.
I'm on 5 watts now. I brought it down to low power. Hopefully I'm still getting in. Yeah, it's good that she's winning all that. She did get a lot of backing from government officials and stuff, so that's fantastic. I think Trump passed something to an executive order about that. So... But, you know, they look at us as the bad guy for doing that. No, we're not. It's women's sports and men's sports. That's, you know, if a woman who's much weaker in, say, fighting skills and power skills wants to come into a men's sport and, you know, go against men, I think that's okay. Because, see, if she gets over on men, that's an amazing woman athlete. But the other way around, it's just not fair. It's totally unfair. Unless there's some girls out there, which I'm sure there is, that could, you know, whoop up on men. I haven't seen any yet. That doesn't mean there isn't any out there. But, yeah, I don't know. It just makes it so unfair that those girls worked all their lives to achieve what they've done, and this guy comes in there and starts, you know, destroying their scholarship chances and everything else. But, yeah. I should be still in there, Bill, on 5 watts. From 25 watts to 5 watts. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sounds pretty good. I'll have to look for a Macintosh solution. I'm sure there is. I can give you access to my All-Star node via, you know, a program on your computer. And I'm sure there's a Macintosh solution for you. Just for nothing else, I mean, just for the ability to do your own audio checks, right? But, no, I didn't notice any difference. I did drop a packet or two, and it doesn't actually drop them. They don't get lost. I think I just get a delay. As I'm not sure exactly how this system works, but I think it works very similar to the way my RC4BAP does, and that is that there's a little bit of jitter involved. And so you cut out for about a quarter of a second twice while you were talking, but I don't think that has anything to do with you. I think it has more to do with the network connection.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yep, so that network connection. Yeah, now the repeater was giving me barely one bar. Now it's up to 3 bars. So as we're talking here, the conditions are changing. And, this is only 5 watts now, so I'll know when I have to go to high power for this repeater. Like I said, during the day, it almost pegs me out. So this matters the conditions. But let me know about that, about some Macintosh stuff, and I'd like to do that. That's interesting. I would be going through my Ethernet for that as well, probably, or Wi-Fi. I have both, but that would be pretty cool. I wish I was more into that. I got to start learning about it. I just haven't really committed to that Raspberry Pi stuff and all that. I don't know why. I'm more into the transmitting through airwaves rather than internet. But you know, it's another mode, so I need to start learning it.
Yep, it's just a different frequency, and it was, many aspects of cell technology and Wi-Fi, not all of it, a large portion of it was developed by corporations, of course, but there are many aspects in all of these technologies that we're using that were assisted by the amateur hobby and developments that were made there. So, I don't know. I just like to play with all of it, and it ties it together, you know, and it's all a big circle, right? I don't know. it'd be like saying that you're not into jet engines because whatever. I don't know. That's a bad analogy. I think you get where I'm going with it. It's all the same stuff. But you're right. Simplex is real radio. I will never forget that. Simplex is real radio. And repeater work isn't. Repeater work is a different animal. It's just totally different. There's something to be said. That feeling when your radio is talking directly to mine, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, back in the CB days when I had my base station way up in the air, high gain and Tom Mako, and then my mobile setup that you can, it was just amazing how far we talked. But yeah, repeaters, I consider getting into repeaters that are really far out, away from me, accomplishing something, but the stuff in town or, you know, Indiana and Illinois that aren't far away from me, that peg me out, that's, you know, artificial, exactly what you're saying. Yeah. But, the GMRS stuff, with the limit on the power, I don't know, what is it, 50 watts, yeah. And I think they have a, well, I got to see, I got to read the, more of the rules, but your antenna height has got to be a certain length and all that. But trying to do what I used to do on ham radio versus TMRS with the limitations, and I can't do it, and I'm always trying to find a way of, without putting an amplifier on it, and TMRS, I'm not going to do that. But I would like to put an antenna up 100 foot in the air on GMRS that at least does, well, a repeater antenna, those things are what, Periscope antenna, I think it does like 19 dB gain, and they're up 500 feet in the air, so that's getting out on GMRS, and they're only running like 30 watts of power or 40 watts of power, so. That's the, like, again, high gain and height. That's what you need with low loss cable. If you can get the transmitter closest to the antenna rather than running it all the way down the tower.
KI9NG. Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Kurt, AC98GO. I know he has some access to this repeater's star node, and find out if he has access to modify the configuration files. If he does, then I can tell him exactly what line to modify to bring the audio down on the identifier and the node connected stuff. And you know, at some point, like, do you really care to hear all that on a repeater? I mean, it's fine on your own node at home, but on the repeater, do you need to know that a node became connected? Whoever connected it should announce it on the repeater, right?
Exactly. That's why I like the M9 with M9. I can't remember the call sign. It's in Chicago. They do nets every day, and M9W or something. But there, when you connect to them on Echolink, it doesn't announce you. So you go in, you know, camouflage. They don't know that you're listening. Because I'll connect to them once in a while with Echolink, and I'll have my radio on, and it doesn't do that. And when you disconnect, it doesn't. So, yeah, that's probably a better way of doing it. But there was one repeater, I forgot, that was, oh, the WM9W, that's the repeater I was just talking about. It doesn't announce when you go on Echolink. There's another repeater that did, but it was really soft, and it was under your audio, you know, person keying up. So you could hear both of them with clarity. I thought that was pretty cool. So it wasn't overbearing. But, yep, you're right on that.
Yeah, I put a minus 20 in the place of a 0 on one of the configuration files, and then give her a read. So on my side, when my identifier tries to talk while you're talking, it's very quiet, very quiet. That's nice. And then it's full scale, full quality, full volume when nobody's talking, which is cool too, right? It's changing. It's actually, you add two characters, a minus and a 2, and give her a reboot. Right? Yeah. So hopefully Kurt has access to that. Well, I'll talk to him about it. He's coming back here. Should be back today, I think. And he's going to hook the W9LY up to All-Star. Oh, and by the way, if it's easier for you, you'll get a little better audio quality on All-Star than you do on Echolink. But I can just enable Echolink on my node, and then you don't have to change anything. You just look me up and add me on Echolink if you want.
Yeah, I think you were on the other day, and I was giving you text messages on Echolink, but you probably have it going on your phone, so. And then it said that you were busy. And you were linked up, so that's probably why it said you were busy. And then I seen when you were flying, grade out on the display. But yeah, EchoLink is pretty cool. I wouldn't run a slow internet connection because your audio gets choppy and doesn't sound right. You got to have a fast internet connection for that. They have clean audio, not to operate it. But I'm on Zello with all the GMRS guys from Midwest GMRS. When the repeater went down, the linking went down. So we still all communicate the way we used to, but over Zello. And that's just the one you want your faster internet connection. 4G rather than your a Wi-Fi that was slower internet connection. But yeah, we're doing the Zello thing. And it's still cool to talk to those guys because I'm going to miss those guys, especially the drive at 5 in the morning. That was cool. But there are, I don't know how many people are on the new Capacity Plus system, but there's a few I know that paid for it, so they're on there. And I asked him, is there a lot of people? And he's like, oh, no, not yet, but I know for sure there are going to be a whole bunch of people on there. And I'm like, I keyed up and said, I don't think so unless they lower the price. But I know they got a ton of money involved with that. Like Buddy, he put tons of money into that linking system, and he had it down. I mean, perfect. It was absolutely amazing what he did. Buddy knows what he's doing. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. That was really nice. That was a really nice system. No ups and downs in the audio. Everything was working just great. That was really nice when it was working. I'm sad to see it go. I really am. But at the same time, I understand, those seem to be the rules by my interpretation of it. And, we might see some changes here soon. There's been a letter floating around from the FCC talking about how they're going to comply with Donald Trump's executive orders to alleviate excessive burden, to alleviate excessive burden, regulatory burdens. And so we'll see where that goes. They're mostly talking about businesses, but, hopefully we don't go too crazy with it because I do want to see it become the wild, wild west out here. And I think the biggest threat would be commercial interests in intruding upon the amateur space. But some deregulation in moderation could help, make things better for everybody, I think.
Yes, in moderation. Yep. Do it smart. Speaking about businesses, Illinois, Pritzker is going to try and pass, but he'll probably get it passed, businesses like you that are operating on diesel fuel or gasoline vehicles for delivering goods. In Illinois, by 2035, they want you on all battery-powered vehicles, and you can't have a gas-powered vehicle of any sort in Illinois in 2035. And at first I thought it was for people in general, and I was like, well, that ain't going to work, man. Oh, I got to get out of this state. But, that's what he's trying to push, along with every other liberal Democrat.
Oh, boy, good luck with that. He better pay the Teamsters a lot of money to get that pushed through.
Yeah, and there's a lot of businesses saying they're just going to leave Illinois, not look back. I don't blame them. But come on now. Really? They think it's, the world's going to end for burning fuels. And they thought, Chicago was going, Chicago and the RTA, Rapid Transit, they were going with the propane tanks on top of those buses, and they work pretty good, but they don't want any of that now in Illinois, like California. They're just following California. That's all they're doing, the Fatso Pritzker and his liberal bunch.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, that LNG, natural gas, that's good stuff too, you know. They're very clean. I mean, the only thing it puts out is plant food. That's kind of the thing, man. You know, if you put out a lot of CO2, the plants grow better. Oh, no.
WNJWN. Yeah, oh, no, we don't want to do that, you know. But with all the tree cutting that's been going on over the years, that will in turn give us more oxygen to breathe. How about that? They don't care about that. They just don't want CO2s in the air. When it's the natural air that we have, plants just live off of it in turn, give us oxygen that we live off of. So, hey, I used to love arguing with tree huggers, but I've kind of turned away from it because it's just not going to do you any good. They're taking one thing in one ear and out the other. They don't listen to actual proof and logic. They're just plain stupid. But, yeah, that's what Pritzker wants to do by 2035. He'll be out of office, but he thinks he's going to get this done. And like you said, the teachers are going to go for that. That's for sure.
Okay, and to jump back to something you said earlier there, this is KI9NG, the 5G on your phone being faster than Wi-Fi. Have you tried Wi-Fi 6 yet?
No, I'm not. Wi-Fi, I forgot. I didn't hear what you said at the end of it. Wi-Fi 6 or something like that? Go ahead. Boy.
Numeral 6. Figures 6. Wi-Fi 6 with us. Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. It's really, really good. So the kid, we bought him the Oculus Quest. And you generally use USB-C cable to connect it to a computer if you want to. You can play all the games on your computer using the video card in your computer to do all the graphics. Because, you know, and the Quest itself, this processor, is a little thing the size of your face. It doesn't have the processing power. Anyway, it looks way better if you hook it up to a computer and you can play all your computer games on it. And normally you'd use a USB-C cable to transfer the image data directly to the displays in the Quest, and then there's a bunch of overhead too because of all the sensors that tell the computer which way to point the cameras in the game, right? So you can do the 3D stuff. And anyway, it had Wi-Fi 6 in it because it has enough bandwidth to transfer all that data. And we tried it on Wi-Fi 5, and it was garbage. And then we upgraded to Wi-Fi 6, and it was really, really good. Little, not quite as good as the USB-C cable, but still really, really good. And it was, yeah. So Wi-Fi 6 is the way to go. You'll have to buy a new phone, you know, because you've got to support it on both ends. Otherwise, you're wasting it. So something to think about, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that. That's why for years, when Cat 6 first came out, I got right on board. I ran all my patch cables with Cat 6. And there's a Cat 7 on. I have a link to Cat 7 here, a jumper. And people are, you know, they're even guys that were doing work at our dealership with the network. I'm like, what do you use? And they're like, well, we use Cat 5E or whatever it is. I'm like, why don't you use Cat 6? And they're like, well, we don't need to. I'm like, our computers that are at our benches are all lagging. Would you want to just use all high-performance cable instead of just cheap stuff? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And he didn't really know much about it. But that's what I always went with Cat 6. Now I'm going to get some Cat 7 stuff and use that. I've been using the same Cat 6 line for years. Monster cable. They don't make it anymore, but it's got fantastic plugs on it. And it's a lot thicker than Cat 6. It has a good shielding on it. And I'm still using it today. All the Belkin Cat 6 lines, they eventually fail, and they just throw them in the garbage. This one from Monster Cable works great, never failed. And but they don't make it anymore. And I was waiting, you know, I was like, whenever Cat 7 comes out, the Monster Cable Cat 7 patch cables, but they don't make it. So MetaBridge is what I use now for Cat 7. You can get that on Amazon. And I did see one fail on me, so I'm kind of skeptical on MetaBridge. But even though I don't need it, that's how I do everything. Overkill, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is you need it if you have the card for it, you know. So the higher speed that some of these newer cards are capable of, then, yeah, it makes a big difference, you know, running Cat 6, and especially along the long stretches. You're only running 10 megabit Ethernet cards, which it could have been at the place you were talking about. They might have only been on 10 megabit Ethernet cards. You could do that with a telephone line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For some reason, it was like you were unkeying and keying back up, but there was no break in your audio. It was just curtain was going on while you were talking. Oh, that's kind of weird. Yeah, that's true what you said about that, where they don't have the right bandwidth on their computers. It's probably that's why they didn't use it. But I'm just, why not, you know, the heck with Cat 5e. I'm going to use Cat 6. That's the way I've always been. It's like the coax. I used LMR 400 on my CB antenna when you didn't really need it. All you needed is a RG213 or RG8. Probably couldn't tell the difference, but I had to have that LMR 400 up in here. And even in my vehicle, when I had my mobile set up with the amplifier and everything, I used LMR 400 in that too. And even the guys that did work on my radio, you don't need that coax, you're wasting your money. I'm like, I'd rather use it, sorry. It's not going to hurt. And solid center conductor, that's the key to low loss on high frequencies, not braided. But braided's good because it's flexible, right? Yeah. But I'll go ahead and sign here with you, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and take a shower, and I have to go pick up a prescription and get a couple of things at the grocery store. So I'm going to bow out here, and it's been good talking to you. We'll do it again. I won't be off the radio all day. I'm gonna go see my dog too, my husky. I'm gonna take him for a long walk and spend some time with him because he's up there in age. He's getting old, and but he's past his prime and he's still healthy. So my medicine now, she's a vet tech, so she knows what she's doing with her two other dogs, a chocolate lab and a boxer. So he's got two buddies over there he spends time with. So. But, I'm going to go see my husky today and enjoy that. He's my best friend in the world. He's a son I never had. But I'll after your final, I'll go ahead and sign and go do my chores.
Roger that. Well, you rode with me almost all the way there. I'm about 15 miles away. 73 to you, Joe. Pleasure as always. We'll catch you down the coax. WA9JWMKI9NG.
Okay, Bill, yeah, we'll be back out in a little while. I'll be listening in the cars or the truck, so we'll talk to you later on. KI9NG, WA9JWM, we'll be off and clear.
Okay. Maybe somebody moved my radio. This is KI9NG. Oh, Jim's connected. I see. Okay, well, if you're, yeah, KI9NG.
So did you get your steel offloaded there, Bill? KA9EFD.
Negative. No, I forgot we were still connected to the 220 machine there. No, I hopped back in the truck, and I seen that Jim was on here, and I figured I had to give it. I heard a tick, but I'm hopping out back out right now there, Alan. Thanks for coming back to me. I'm going to go ahead and disconnect from the 2-meter repeater. But, yeah, that was interesting. I forgot I was even connected to this one. 73, though, definitely unloading for sure now. So we'll catch you later. KI9NG.
All right, no problem. We'll catch up with you later. KA9EFD, Mobile, still sitting in the dock and not the dock of the bay. Catch her.
Okay, now that steel's unloaded there, Alan. You still with me? KI9NG.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, we're still here. I just climbed back in the truck from getting my paperwork. I'm filling it out, getting ready to hit that dusty trail again. They told me they want to do as many loads as they possibly can today. So my thought on a 70-some degree day of getting done a little bit early today, yeah, that doesn't look real promising right now. KA9EFD.
Oh, yeah, roger that. That's how that works. It's Friday. It's nice. You're working all day. Yeah, I got to go and do a shuttle now. So I'm heading to U.S. Steel Midwest in Portage and going to load one out of there. I guess that brings up the biggest downside of not having a radio in the truck. I can't do any simplex. There have been a couple of times I get up there, and Josh the Saw is listening on Channel 16. I give him a call on Channel 16 when I get there. He's like, hey! I'm like, hey, yeah. I'm here. Where are you at? He's way back there somewhere. But, only downside so far to running remote in the truck. Right now, I'm coming to you on EchoLink. My 991 Alpha doesn't do 220, but I have my EchoLink node connected to the KC9YNM repeater. And then apparently W9JOM's node is also connected. I have not received a transmission from him, but he's listening if he can, right? Like, I mean, we all know that Jim's listening everywhere, but he's specifically listening to this note, potentially. Okay. Back to you.
All right, give me just a minute, though.
Not a problem. We'll be here. And this is KI9NG.
All right, we're back. Had to finish up my paperwork to look at what the roads look like, which 93rd does not look real promising, so I'm probably going to cut north and grab 12 and take that over to 20 and go in that way rather than 94. When I came back, I noticed that it was running real slow. It was moving. It was doing about 20 miles an hour. But I don't know what the problem is now. Of course, a couple days ago, there was wall-to-wall state policemen out there. I bet you there was 8 or 9 squad cars, pickup trucks, vans. Everything and everything was out there. It was just kind of interesting. And they were targeting B big trucks. The occasional car, but almost without exception, they had a big truck pulled over. So, what do you do? But you're sounding good in here. You need to get the radios all backed up and running. But I don't know, you mentioned EchoLink, Steve, and I forgot to say, but you know there's an app, EchoLink, you could use from your phone. You don't necessarily have to have a computer, so you could do it that way, too. Because I've got it on my phone. I don't use it very often, but I've got it. I've had EchoLink for, well, a lot of years. K-9FT.
Oh, yeah, copy on the EchoLink app there. It doesn't, on Android, specifically, it doesn't play well with, what you call it there, the Bluetooth devices. It always wants to use the Bluetooth microphone, or the microphone that's in the phone, as opposed to using the microphone on the Bluetooth. And, yeah, it has limited usefulness to me. It's good at the house, it's terrible in the truck. The microphone on the phone picks up just far too much ambient noise, and it sounds like somebody's trying to get in there, but they're not quite making it. This is KI9NG. Go ahead, other station, give it a shot, and then, go ahead and take it there, Alan, if nobody comes back.
Well, it did sound like somebody was trying to get in there, but nothing hurt. No, it was low-key. Let you in, no problem. I think Henry's wanting to get his 220 antenna back up, and no, that'll be good. It was years and years ago when Moses was a lad. He and I were almost exclusively on 220, because back then he was a novice class operator, and novice class operators had 220 privileges. They did not have 220, or excuse me, they did not have 2 meters. Let me make it right. Let me state that again. Novice class operators had privileges on 220, but not 2 meters, and so we spent a lot of time on 220. And then when he got his general class and moved up in the world, then we were able to go to 2 meters. He can go on any of the bands that I can, which is nice. So he's planning on getting his 220 back up, as well as some stuff for HF. G5RV, I think, is what he's talking about, although we've been talking to him about some other options, too. So I'm not sure what he's going to end up going with. But we may need to have a field day at his house to get everything up one day just to make it happen. KA9FT.
Yeah, copy that. That's good. I hope he does get on 220. It seems like it's a pretty underutilized band. I'm glad this repeater is here, the KT9YNM. I'm glad that Travis got it linked up with All-Star. I think it was Travis. And then it's hooked up to KT9HO's hub, which some of the Michigan repeaters get in on. There's a couple of Michigan. Well, then there's some in South Bend, too. So right now, our voices are coming out in Michigan, in the Grand Rapids area, and in South Bend, Elkhart area also. So always keep that in mind when you're over here on the KC9YNM repeater. I couldn't bring up the bubble chart. The bubble chart shows me all the nodes that are connected to all the other nodes, which is kind of fun. In case you were wondering how I knew that somebody was trying to get in there, it's not that I'm listening. All-Star is full duplex, so if you would key your mic right now while I'm talking, I'd be able to hear everything you said. Over.
No kidding. I honestly had no idea. That's awesome. Okay. I knew that we were connected to South Bend area. I've mentioned to my son Curtis, he lives up in Mishawaka, and he could use an HC and get into 220. Okay, I got somebody calling Henry on two meters. Okay, he's got a 220 HC. Back when he got his license, we bought Kenwood. The Kenwood Tri-Band. And I bought one for him. I bought one for my wife, and for my oldest son, and for me. I bought four of them. Yeah, it was an expensive thing. But all of us had ham licenses, of course. And he still has his. He's a general class operator. My oldest boy forgot to renew his, and it's too late to get it back. And then, of course, my wife, Teresa, she passed away. That's been 15, 16 years ago now. But that's a great tri-band, a THF6, I think. 2 meter, 440, 220, and it's just an awesome radio. So he can get in, probably with an HT. He works up at Notre Dame in the plumbing and all of that area. So, he's got to be really close to that repeater there, Ben. Okay, and 90.
Yeah, copy that. That'd be cool. Need to talk to the spawn of the infamous Alan, the spawn of KA9EFE. that'd be great. Yeah, because you can get into this 220. But what kind of wattage are you putting out over there on 220 in the truck, Alan?
You know, I set this thing such a long time ago, I'm not sure. I think about 20 watts. I've got the Inco 35. I bought it a long time ago. I've had it a while. I've got a 220 rig. I bought that probably within 4 or 5 years of getting licensed. But that's sitting in there. I upgraded to this one because I could do alphanumeric memory. With a Kenwood, you just put the frequency in, and that's about it. All you know about it is the frequency. And then I've got one sitting at home, so I listen to 220, there too. But I think about 20 or 25 watts is all I've got.
Yeah, I copy on the 20 or 25 watts there. But still, 220 works really well. You'd probably get in there quite a ways away. You'd probably get all the way close to the state, I would imagine. And, that way he can reach out and talk to you there. There's one other link repeater in Ogden Dunes, the KD9NSD repeater. That's also on All-Star. I think that one might be EchoLink enabled, too. I can enable EchoLink on my All-Star node, too. It's just a matter of putting it in the config file there. If that helps you out at all, or if you wanted to try to mess with that at all. That'd be neat. That would be neat. The question I have for you about the radio you're on now, do you have, does it have DTMF?
All right, say that question again. Do I have a what?
DTMF, Delta Tango Mike Foxtrot, dual tone, what does it stand for? Doggone it. Now I can't remember what DTMF stands for. Delta Tango Mike Foxtrot, over.
Oh, yeah. Your keyboard on the mic, I'm pretty sure that you're referring to. But yeah, I do have one of them.
Yeah, so I'm curious to try. I'm meaning to. I'll try it when I'm on my way home today. But if you go on the Google and type All Star Node List, it'll show you all the different nodes that you could connect to. And then, you know, Repeater Book has an All Star, filter, right? So you can filter out. You can filter it so that only you want to uncheck FM. And then just check star, and then it'll only show you repeaters that have all star. And then you can find, generally they list the all star node number there, or you can just see the call sign that's associated with the repeater. Either way, you can get a node number, and then you dial star. You hold the key. Usually you hold the mic button, the PT key, and you dial star. And then you dial on the DTMF pad. The code for linking is star 3. So you type star 3 followed by the node number, and that'll link you to a repeater or to a node. And then you dial star 1 followed by the node number, and that'll unlink you. So something to keep in your bag of tricks there, Alan.
All right. Well, we'll have to play around with that a little bit. I never have, I've just got so much other stuff that I do. I just never played with All-Star. I hear All-Star Net on their frequency in the evenings, two or three evenings a week. And when I've got the radios on at the house, and I hear them. And, that's great. That works. But I've never gone trying to intentionally get into an All-Star node. I don't even know why, Bill. I don't even know why. But I just have never tried. Let's see. Okay. So it looks like coming out onto Route 20 off of Route 12. I wasn't too bad. A couple stoplights on 12, and here I am by the McDonald's. I'll have to look that up and see what that's all about. All of the linking that they had on the TMRS, that was All Star as well, then, huh?
Well, they made their own spin off of it. So All Star, it's the same technology. How's that? Is it? The software is called Asterisk, and then allstar.org is a website that keeps track of all the linked repeaters and makes them available in a list and keeps track of everybody, and you register them and they maintain the network. It wasn't exactly All-Star, but it used all the same technology. Does that make sense there, Alan?
Yes, it does. That makes perfect sense. Okay. So that's good. But, I'm not sure where I stand on the TMRS and linking all of that stuff. Maybe it'll be allowed. Here at some point. Maybe it won't. But I've heard people say that the TMRS is a gateway to ham radio, and it really is. So, of course, TMRS wasn't popular when I was getting my license. I never heard of it. And TMRS, MERV, all that stuff. But I just never heard of any of that, at least back then. But that's how that works. Anyway, let me get over here. Yeah, this car's going to move over and let me through. Okay, good. He's coming over and going to pass me in a lane that is ending real quick. How about that? K9F.
Yeah, how about that? A four-wheeler being a jerk. Weird. Yeah, all day long. Okay. And all night too, I suppose, if I drove at night. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. I don't know if they should or they shouldn't. I really don't have much of a stake in it anymore. If there were more linked repeaters around us and they were occupying more of the band, then I'd be opposed to it. The way it stood, we had one in a big repeater. Nobody else was linking, and it was fine. It wasn't an issue for me. It wasn't a detriment to me. It also wasn't much of a benefit to me. I didn't have much use for it myself. Very few of those guys out there wanted to talk technical stuff, and that's mostly what I like talking about on amateur radio, or on the radio at all. Even on GMRS, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about technical things. That's kind of why I sort of a little bit outgrew this GMRS. KA9UFD, KI9NG.
All right, KA9NG, KA9EFD. Now, I know, and you're very knowledgeable about that type of stuff. You know, just like Randy is real good with antennas, because he tries different stuff all the time. I haven't heard of him on the air quite a bit, and I need to give him a call and see how he's doing, because I just haven't heard of him. I don't know what that deal's all about, but... Now, back to what you were talking about this morning. I'm trying to wrap my head around that that thing that Henry would like you to give a talk on. So, what exactly is that? I mean, it's a digital, it's an internet mode. Is it just strictly a digital over the air? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure with any of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, copy. We got to get some terms straight here, Alan. The first one I'll present to you is mesh-tastic. And what mesh-tastic is a combination of devices communicating via RF and devices communicating with the internet, and not relying on the internet. Being able to store and forward messages and do that all on RF is part of the basic premise of it. But in the end, think of it like APRS. Maybe that doesn't help a whole lot. But with APRS, You're beaconing with RF, or you can beacon on the internet, and then I can send a message that'll hop through all the RF links and go all the way across the country, never touch the internet once, or I can send a message and then it'll get picked up right away and get transmitted to the internet and then come out the other side and go to RF or not go to RF. It doesn't really matter, right? So that's what mesh-tastic is. Now the second half, though, is LoRa, long range it stands for, and that is an RF protocol. They call it spread spectrum chirp modulation, and it's very special. Chirp spread spectrum, they call it. Chirp spread spectrum, they say it in that order. And it's basically a CW signal that goes from frequency X to frequency X plus 250 kilohertz, and it goes there very quickly, right? So it's, or it'll go down, up chirps and down chirps. You can use either one. And using those up chirps and down chirps, you can transmit data. And the way that the math works out, you're able to transmit that data a very, very long way with very, very little power. And the goal of it was to replace the TEM network that's been twilighted here in America. Back to you, Alan. I probably timed out.
Now, I was probably getting close, but no time out there. Okay, well, APRS, I've got a little bit of an understanding. I had a radio that was APRS compatible, the Yaesu 2800. That's up at my son's house right now. And I played with it. I don't know why. And Bill, I don't know what the deal is, but I have these deals that will do stuff. And I just use it for the basic stuff. All that stuff is a waste on me. I really need to sit down and work with that. But my schedule's going to start getting really busy here with people tapping me on the shoulder to do jobs. So like next week I'm working Sunday through Friday. It'll be a 70-hour work week. Can't go over 70, but just under 70 hours. And probably in April, I'll be starting for other people. And I've got to do home. I've got to do home stuff. Otherwise, my wife's going to be not a happy person. And so I'm actually going down to Tennessee at the end of the month, my wife and I, to her sister's. And the brother-in-law is helping me make kitchen cabinets for my house. And he's going to bring them up. I don't know, maybe a week to do that. So I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be a poor man this year. That's just how it works out.
Oh, boy. Well, you're not holding the repeater too well there, Alan. I think I copied everything. I thought of another thing to think about with the APRS. You're familiar with AFSK? That's the underlying RF modulation that that APRS uses when you use RF on 144390. AFSK, audio frequency shift key. That's the same, so there's your analogy. APRS is to AFSK as Meshtastic is to LoRa. Copy?
Yeah, I copy. I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around the comparison to all of that. And the truth is, I'm probably going to have to get paper and pencil just to see what's on and then play with it a little bit. I have trouble with the theoretical. I'm more of a hands-on. When I see it working and understand a little bit more as I go, if that makes any sense. K9EFT, and I can let you go if need be if I'm not making it into the repeater. We're out here by Thea Bowman School up on Route 20 there.
Oh, no, you must have just been in a bad spot there. You're good now. Sounding real good, for sure. But, I get it. And then, you know, should I just talk about Meshtastic, you know? Like, it's like talking about how to use that handheld that you've got that does APRS, you know? Like, do you really care that it's switching between, you know, different frequencies on an FM carrier, transmitting two audible sounds on FM? Does that really matter to you? Or do you just want to know what buttons to press to send a message to California? You know what I mean? And so I don't know. I don't know how to approach the whole presentation on Meshtastic. you know, from my point of view, the most interesting part is the physical layer. But from a less technical person's point of view, the most interesting part is, what can it do for me? So I don't know that my views on the subject align with most people. KA9EFE, KI9NG.
Absolutely, I understand. But I think that a lot of it is going to have to do with how you approach the subject. Okay? You know, if you're going to do you can talk about mesh tactics, bring in the correlation between APRLs, and I bet you a fair amount of guys have got a little bit of an understanding as to how that all works. And then you can start bringing all that in. More might be really handy to add those layers, as you say, and go from there. But I unfortunately am not the technical guy. Now, I could probably get more technical, but I've got to see it, feel it, and be able to read it and try to understand. Once I understand the concept, then it works out a whole lot better for me. I don't understand why. That question got me into trouble a lot when I was growing up. People thought I was challenging them. I had teachers that thought I was challenging them. And it's like, I'm not trying to challenge you on it, but I'm trying to make sense of it in my head. And once this makes sense, then I can move on. So I'm wondering if, you ought to get to where you want to go with it, but you're going to have to he's on the back of the shelf. First off, and then go from there, I think.
Oh, no, I get where you're coming from there, Alan. I know I appreciate the questions, and no, I don't think you're trying to challenge me. No, I don't feel, any kind of way there. No, everything's all good. It's all good, Alan. I understand. Now you're breaking up too much, so. And I'm about to pull in here to Midwest Steel anyhow. And so I'll let you go there. And it's a pleasure as always. And, let me know if you want to try to get going on the Echo Link here on my side, or if you wanted a demo on any of the All-Star stuff. We'll talk you through it on the phone or whatever. But, no big deal. 73 to you, though, sir. And I'll be clear on your final. This is KI9NG.
All right, very good there, Bill. Yeah, I got a trailer in between the antenna and the repeater, so I'm sure that I'm getting a lot of reflection. Catch you later, and I'll have 2 meter on. I'll be talking to Henry here in a little while, I'm sure. Hopefully I got a trailer. KA9NG, KA9D, Klein Avenue and Michigan Free.
WB9YPA. N9UUI. N9UUI. This is WB9YPA. Bob, are you around?
There is, and I didn't want you to mobile echoing 220. And I didn't want you to
This is W8MEL, Whiskey 8, Mike Echo Lima.
K9TWL listening.
This is W8MEL.